From NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, the online file-sharing site Grokster is not going to give it all away for free anymore. First, the lead. France declares a state of emergency as riots continue overnight. The government can now impose curfews. Last night was the 12th night of unrest in the country. Rioters burnt more than 1,000 vehicles, and in a moment coming up, we'll talk about the symbolism of burning cars. First, though, in the poor Paris suburb of Lille-Saint-Denis, Nadir Dendounet explained why so many in France feel alienated.
Most of the kids that I know tell me that they have no hope in life, they have no hope with their job. They just think that they are going to turn losers for all their life. So they don't believe in politics, they don't believe in the French system. They are not treated as a French man because of the skin, because of the place that they were raised. So that's why it makes them very, very upset today.
For more on the riots and the implications they might have beyond the borders of France, we're speaking with NPR's Sylvia Poggioli. Sylvia, welcome to Day to Day.
Thank you.
You're actually in this country right now. You're on a visit in New York.
That's right.
But you've done extensive reporting specifically on the issue of immigration and Europe. Just about a year ago, you had a series of stories, and they almost seem to be a chronicle of a riot foretold. And thinking back about those stories, we've invited you to come on today. Here's a quote from one of those stories. A gentleman said, talking about these immigrant communities, "Liberal democracies in the West have failed so far to recognize the rights of communities. If you undermine the community, you cannot control the individual." And you talk about these neighborhoods as symbols of social exclusion and despair. Just describe what these neighborhoods feel like, can you?
Sure. They're called the outer cities, the cité, the banlieue of the big metropolitan areas. They're squalid. They're bleak housing projects. They're known as high-rise hell. They're very scary, very unwelcoming places. Some are even said to be no-go areas for French police. And in these ghettos, youth unemployment is up to 30%, three times the French national average. They're dominated by a very violent machismo. Young women often decide to wear the Islamic veil, not for religious reasons, but to defend themselves from a popular practice of gang rape known as la tournante. Now, these kids were born in France. They lost their ties to the parents' homelands. They're told they're French, but they're treated like second-class citizens. And kids of North African origin are so discriminated against in the job market that they often change their names. I remember a young man I met in Lyon several years ago. He changed his name from Faisal to Pascal, but when he showed up, he was turned down. And the exclusion is very visible in the urban landscape. For example, the center of Lyon is rich, white, and Catholic, and there are hardly any signs of the tens of thousands of minorities relegated to the outer ghettos. The basic problem has been that the so-called French colorblind policy toward minorities, meaning assimilation, has never worked. The concept of affirmative action is taboo, and diversity is not seen as a positive value in French society.
What about the prospects for the anger of these people being channeled into the kind of religious extremism evident in Amsterdam and over this summer in London, bombings and the such?
Well, so far, analysts say that the riots are not religiously motivated. They're simply a violent explosion of frustration and alienation of Muslim youth against an alien white French society. Some of them are calling them the Intifada of the banlieue. The French scholar Olivier Roy says this is still at the cowboys and Indians stage. If these youths were already in the hands of extremists, there would be bombs, not rioting. But there is certainly concern. There have been some postings on Islamist websites urging riots all over Europe.
Well, what about that? I've read in the last day Newswire reports of troubles in Belgium and Germany and a herd of problems in Denmark. What are the prospects for the rest of Europe?
Well, everybody is very, very, very worried. There have, as you say, been some copycat riots. But living conditions, for example, let's say in Germany and in Brussels, where there are many Muslims, are not so dire as in France. However, economic and social exclusion are the same. Moreover, Muslim communities are growing. There are between 15 and 20 million Muslims in Europe. Islam is the second religion, and it's fastest growing. And there's no question that the great, great majority of Muslims in Europe are moderates. Muslims in Europe are grappling with the problem of their identity. They're being pressed to adapt to societies based on civic rights, religious tolerance, and equality of women. It's a very difficult challenge at this time of growing mutual suspicion and fear after the Madrid, London bombings and the murder of Van Gogh, when Europeans discovered that these extremists were the enemy within. But without a serious and honest dialogue between these two communities, there really is a danger of growing radicalization throughout Europe.
NPR senior European correspondent Silvia Poggioli speaking with us today from New York. Silvia, thanks for joining us on Day to Day.
You're welcome, Alex.